How do you handle your anger as a married couple? Did you know that the way that you handle your anger can literally be leading you toward divorce or away from it? Now, I know as a child of divorce, you want to do everything you can to avoid going in that negative direction. And I have a really helpful tip to share with you in today's episode. Thanks for joining me on Heart in a Drawer, the podcast for adult children of divorce. I welcome you back if you've been here before, and if you're new here, I'm glad that you're with us. I wanted you to know, before we get started, that I leave a free printable link in every group of show notes for you, and I hope that you'll take advantage of that worksheet that I provide to you for free. And also, anyone who gives a donation of any amount each month gets an exclusive video and printable from me. So I hope that you'll check out my rewards program as well. Now let's get started talking about this principle in this wonderful book by Dr. John Gottman. It's called The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work. This book is pure gold. I encourage you to go to the notes and check out the links to order a copy for yourself. And I've just pulled out one principle from this book that has made such a difference for me in the last year and a half or so since I discovered it. How I wish I had known this earlier in our marriage. It would have changed everything. Dr. Gottman has based his entire career on helping marriages thrive and doing marriage research. And he's well known for his ability to predict with an over 90% accuracy if a couple's marriage is going to survive after spending only 5 to 10 minutes observing them. So one of the things that he looks for is what he terms the 4 horsemen. And I'm going to leave a link to his website in the show notes so you can go look at that. That's really informative. It's a little more than I can cover today, but I want you to go over there and check that out. My husband and I use that in our marriage counseling sessions, and it has really helped both of us change our approach when we feel angry. So one of the points that he looks for is actually called flooding. And flooding is when you get so overwhelmed that you are shell-shocked. And it can, depending on how you handle it, it can make or break your marriage. It's one of those predictors of whether your marriage is going to last or not. So I want to read a portion out of the book for you and then talk about how it worked in my case. And then we're also going to look at a Bible verse that can help us remember this. So in the chapter about solving your solvable problems, isn't that a hopeful title? Because that means that we can solve this problem if we work at it. It says, the first step in dealing with flooding is to end the discussion now. If you keep going, you'll find yourself exploding at your partner or stonewalling, neither of which will get you anywhere. Don't think, we'll take a break as soon as I've made my point, because you'll never end up taking a break at all. Just stop. Let your spouse know that you're feeling flooded, then take a break that should last at least 20 minutes, since it will take that long for your body to calm down. So when you are flooded, you're not just flooded with emotions, you're flooded with hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. They're the stress hormones that happen when you have that fight or flight response. So literally, it takes your body about 20 minutes or so to metabolize that rush of hormones back down to stasis so you can feel rational and calm again to re-engage without exploding or imploding. So they suggest that you do something soothing and distracting, like listening to music, taking a walk, or reading or exercising if you're not going to rev up more from exercising. If it's just a leisurely walk, that's probably better. Also, you're not supposed to spend your time nursing your anger or sadness or rehearsing the verbal arrows you'll launch after the break. So it has to be a very intentional break that you're doing something to take your mind off, something that you enjoy, something that's pleasant to you to help you process all that negativity. So they give a technique about sitting down and paying attention to your muscles and releasing the tension in them. But I wanted to tell you what I did. So this is probably within the last 6 months, honestly, even though I've only known about this for maybe a year and a half. So we were having a fight and I just said, look, I'm going to take a break. And I went upstairs. Our upstairs is the master suite. And I literally grabbed a book that just completely took my mind off of it. And I also prayed. I just prayed. I didn't pray an angry prayer. I just prayed, you know, help me see the truth about this. Help me calm down. Help me reengage with grace, with love. Help me forgive. Those kind of prayers. Not change him, make him see my point, you know, that kind of thing. And so by praying a little bit and also reading just to escape, really in 20 minutes, I felt like a totally different person than the one who had come upstairs all worked up over what had happened. And then we could rejoin and talk about things without throwing arrows at each other, literally. So I am living proof that this technique works. It is so powerful, not only in your marriage. I found it powerful with my kids. I wish I had known it when I was working outside the home in a super stressful environment. That would have been good too. But I think it's especially helpful to remember in marriage because, you know, you're living in such a close relationship. You have to work out your problems together. And so I think it's really powerful for revolutionizing your marriage and making you feel like you're more in control of those problems instead of repeating the same ones over and over and over again. So one thing that you can do also is meditate on God's word when you are in that self-soothing stage. And so you know that my book, Transforming Your Thought Life, is all about Christian meditation, and I have an entire chapter on angry thoughts. So in this chapter, I don't only include verses that you can meditate on about anger, because sometimes that can tie you to your anger in an angry moment. I also include verses about self-control, because that's something that you can practice when you are very upset at someone and you're still sorting out your emotions. Your body's trying to metabolize all those hormones that are flooding your system. So this is something that you can do that is scientifically proven to calm you down, reduce your blood pressure, to give you a sense of peace and actually boost your immune system too. So that's meditation in general, but Christian meditation is meditating on God's word so that you can put his word into your mind and heart instead of the lies that you're believing from Satan or yourself or from what other people are telling you. And isn't that important when we're arguing? A lot of times when we're arguing, when we're angry, we're telling each other lies, we're believing lies that either someone is literally saying to us or we're misinterpreting what they say and believing a lie that they never even said. So arguments are just this time where spiritual warfare can be occurring, lies can be stirred up among you and your spouse. And so it's really, really important to fight back with the power of God's word, not by saying it to the other person. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that in the moment. But maybe in your time of feeling flooded, you could go get with God's word and say, repeat a verse like this one, which I think is really useful for this particular topic that we're talking about today. This is from Ephesians 4:31, and it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So this is saying, you know, I like the strong words that Paul is using here. Get rid, like throw away all bitterness, rage, and anger toward your spouse. Brawling and slander. So quarreling, fighting, and then saying really hurtful things to each other, along with every form of malice. Now, when I think of malice, I think of having contempt for someone, and that's actually one of those four horsemen that I talked about in that article that I'm going to link in the show notes, so be sure that you check that out. So while you're sitting there, you know, feeling flooded, trying to calm down, if you're saying, you're making this verse into a prayer and you're saying, God, help me get rid of these hormones that are in my body. Help me get rid of my bitterness, my rage, and my anger, these feelings that are not going to build up my marriage. They're going to tear it down. Help me to not slander my spouse. Help me to not brawl and contend and war with my spouse, but to see them as being on the same team instead of my enemy, because I know my real enemy in this situation is Satan. It's not my husband. It's not my wife. Along with every form of malice, malice is getting back, you know, and doing it with vindictive intent. So if you can meditate on a verse like this, I think it will help you cast all those things off of you and choose what is right and what is good instead, because you want that peace to grow. You don't want that anger and rage to grow. And I'm just going to read another verse to you, even though the Ephesians 4:31 I'm going to put on the worksheet for this podcast. This one is from Hebrews 12:15, the New Living Translation. It says, "Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." So I see that as a very caring verse. Look after one another. Look after each other. So you're not only stewarding your feelings, you're trying to help your spouse steward theirs well by not adding to that pile of negative emotions that they have to process that are coming from your direction. And this is about choosing the grace of God. And I have to remember that every time that we have an argument, that I need to lean into grace and showing that favor that God shows me to my husband, and looking on the good side, trying to find any grain of truth in the argument that has been stirred up, and then taking action on that instead of defending myself, stonewalling myself, and becoming right in my own opinion. So I think that's another beautiful verse for us to keep in mind. I will just list it in the show notes for you to go study yourself. So if you'll let me pray for you now, I would be honored to do that. And I'm going to pray this over your marriage. Father God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are watching and listening to this episode today. And I pray that you would cast out angry roots from their marriage and teach them a new way of interacting with each other. Teach them to practice self-control with their feelings when they're feeling flooded, so that they can come back and unite to build up their marriage rather than tear it down. And I trust, Lord, that you will help them solve their problems because you want to bless their marriage, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am so glad that you have joined me for this four-part marriage series on the podcast. And now we're going to be, next time, starting a four-part series on parenting. So make sure that you sign up to subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes as well. So thank you again for watching. And until next time, I'm praying God's peace and blessing upon you. Bye-bye.